Well, hope you all had a good helping of Melba toast downstairs.
Pretty good.
We'll resume our discussion of the period between the Testaments. And we'll look at the Maccabean Revolt. How many of you have e-sword? You some of you use that? I downloaded mine just this week so I could get a copy of the Apocrypha. So you can get a free copy here. Although there's a couple of books. I think Esdras is not available in this version, but you can get First Maccabees. And I want us to look at First Maccabees, the first chapter, for its historical value. This is a very interesting summary of some of the things we've talked about, but also some information we haven't talked about in this class yet. Now, it came to pass after that Alexander, the son of Philip the Macedonian, who first reigned in Greece, coming out of the land of Setham, had overthrown Darius, king of the Persians and Medes. He fought many battles, took the strongholds of all, and slew the kings of the earth. He went through even to the ends of the earth and took the spoils of many nations, and the earth was quiet before him. He gathered a power and a very strong army, and his heart was exalted and lifted up. He subdued countries of nations and princes, and they became tributaries to him. After these things, he fell down upon his bed and knew that he should die. He called his servants, the nobles that were brought up with him from his youth. He divided his kingdom among them while he was yet alive. Alexander reigned 12 years, and he died. His servants made themselves kings, every one in his place. They all put crowns upon themselves after his death, and their sons after them, many years, and evils were multiplied in the earth. There came out of them a wicked root, Antiochus the Illustrious, and that is one of the meanings of Epiphanes. Antiochus the Illustrious, the son of King Antiochus, who had been a hostage at Rome, and reigned in the 137th year of the kingdom of the Greeks. In those days there went out of Israel wicked men, and they persuaded many, saying, "Let us go and make a covenant with the heathens that are round about us. For since we departed from them, many evils have befallen us." And the word seemed good in their eyes. Some of the people determined to do this, and went to the king, and he gave them license to do after the ordinance of the heathens. They built a place of exercise in Jerusalem, according to the laws of the nations. That's the gymnasium we were talking about. They made themselves prepuses, and departed from the Holy Covenant, and joined themselves to the heathens, and were sold to do evil. And the kingdom was established before Antiochus, and he had a mind to reign over the land of Egypt, that he might reign over two kingdoms. He entered into Egypt with a great multitude, with chariots, elephants, horsemen, a great number of ships. He made war against Ptolemy, king of Egypt, but Ptolemy was afraid at his presence and fled, and many were wounded unto death. He took the strong cities in the land of Egypt. He took the spoils of the land of Egypt. And after Antiochus had ravaged Egypt, in the 143rd year, he returned and went up against Israel. He went up to Jerusalem with a great multitude. He proudly entered into the sanctuary and took away the golden altar, the candlestick of light, and all the vessels thereof, and the table of proposition, and the pouring vessels, and the vials, and the little mortars of gold, and the veil, and the crowns, and the golden ornament that was before the temple, and he broke them all in pieces. He took the silver and gold, and the precious vessels. He took the hidden treasures, which he found, and when he had taken all away, he departed unto his own country. He made a great slaughter of men, and spoke very proudly. And there was great mourning in Israel in every place where they were. And the princes and the ancients mourned, and the virgins and the young men were made feeble, and the beauty of the women was changed. Every bridegroom took up lamentation, and the bride that sat at the marriage bed mourned. And the land was moved for the inhabitants thereof, and all the house of Jacob was covered with confusion. After 2 full years, the king sent the chief collector of his tributes to the cities of Judah, and he came to Jerusalem with a great multitude. He spoke to them peaceable words in deceit, and they believed him. And he fell upon the city suddenly, and struck it with a great slaughter, and destroyed much people in Israel. He took the spoils of the city, and burnt it with fire, and threw down the houses thereof, and the walls thereof round about. And they took the women captive, and the children, and the cattle they possessed. They built the city of David with a great and strong wall, and with strong towers, and made it a fortress for them. And they placed there a sinful nation, wicked men, and they fortified themselves therein, and they stored up armor and victuals, and gathered together the spoils of Jerusalem. They laid them up there, and they became a great snare. This was a place to lie in wait against the sanctuary and an evil devil in Israel. They shed innocent blood round about the sanctuary and defiled the holy place. The inhabitants of Jerusalem fled away by reason of them, and the city was made the habitation of strangers, and she became a stranger to her own seed, and her children forsook her. Her sanctuary was desolate like a wilderness, her festival days were turned into mourning, her Sabbaths into reproach, her honors were brought to nothing. Her dishonor was increased according to her glory, and her excellency was turned into mourning. And King Antiochus wrote to all his kingdom that all the people should be one, every one should leave his own law. And all nations consented according to the word of King Antiochus. Many of Israel consented to his service, and they sacrificed to idols and profaned the Sabbath. The king sent letters by the hands of messengers to Jerusalem and to all the cities of Judah, that they should follow the law of the nations of the earth, should forbid holocausts and sacrifices and atonements to be made in the temple of God, and should forbid the Sabbath and the festival days to be celebrated. He commanded the holy places to be profaned and the holy people of Israel. He commanded altars to be built and temples and idols and swine's flesh to be immolated and unclean beasts, and that they should leave their children uncircumcised. Let their souls be defiled with all uncleanness and abominations, to the end that they should forget the law and should change all justifications of God. That whosoever would not do so, according to the word of the king of Antiochus, should be put to death. According to all these words, he wrote to the whole kingdom, and he appointed rulers over the people, that they should force them to do these things. And they commanded the cities of Judah to sacrifice. And many of the people were gathered to them that had forsaken the law of the Lord, and they committed evils in the land. They drove away the people of Israel into lurking holes and into the secret places of fugitives. That sound like Hebrews chapter 11? So that's what they're going through. It's a dark time, according to this historical account of the Maccabees. And on the 15th day of the month, Kislew, in the 145th year, King Antiochus set up the abominable idol of desolation upon the altar of God, and they built altars throughout all the cities of Judah round about. So he identifies this as the abomination of desolation. They burnt incense and sacrificed the doors of the house and in the streets. They cut in pieces and burnt with fire the books of the law of God. And everyone with whom the books of testament of the Lord were found, and whosoever observed the law of the Lord, they put to death, according to the edict of the king. Thus by their power did they deal with the people of Israel that were found in the cities month after month. And on the 25th day of the month they sacrificed upon the altar of the idol that was over against the altar of God. Now the women that circumcised their children were slain, according to the commandment of King Antiochus. And they hanged the children of Israel about the neck and all their houses. Those that had circumcised them they put to death. Many of the people of Israel determined with themselves that they would not eat unclean things. They chose rather to die than to be defiled with unclean meats. They would not break the holy law of God, and they were put to death. There was very great wrath upon the people. And so the second chapter of 1 Maccabees describes the revolt. But you can see why they revolted, Eric. Yeah. Yeah, I appreciate that a lot. It's in keeping with all sufferings of God's people. They are for our good. The sufferings that we go through don't destroy our faith. They make it stronger. They deprive us physically, but yet they get us through. Yeah, I think that's good. I'm glad you saw that. Glad you see the light here, because this is a pretty dark picture. It's dark. It's awful. And, you know, throughout the Bible, always remember that theme throughout the Bible. Satan always has ways to try to destroy God's people. He tried to, you know, Cain killed Abel, and ever since then it's gone to a national scale where Satan can use governments to oppose God's people. Egypt is the great story of deliverance. That was an attempt to wipe out God's people. And in keeping with what you said, Eric, remember, when Pharaoh would make things hard for them, that just made them stronger and bigger. So it doesn't work. Andrew. Yeah. Yeah, I like that. That's good. You know, it's a debatable thing, which is better, to be persecuted or to have it easy. You know, which way is more conducive for people to be Christians? It's a debatable thing. We don't want persecution. We don't want to pray for an oppressive government or anything like that. But at the same time, there's pitfalls, like you're saying. There's pitfalls to having it easy. Had it been easy for God's people at this time, they may have been wiped out, you know. If Hellenization had been made easy, much easier, then there may not have been a people to listen, like Lewis was saying, listen when John the Baptist finally did come. Yeah. Exactly right.
Throughout history, God's people have always not seen to have been able to command the use of seduction.
Yeah.
And so I can appreciate the fact that the forcing of peace that caused them to have to make a choice.
Yeah, good point. The forcing caused them to make a choice. I agree. So there's good, there's light here at the end of the tunnel, but this is a dark time, and maybe another reason we don't really like to think too much about it. Let me read just some of this to just describe in the words of the writer here what happened with this Jewish revolt. In those days arose Matthias, that's the son of John, the son of Simeon, a priest of the sons of Jorib from Jerusalem. He abode in the mountain of Modin. Remember that name, Modin. That's where the revolt begins, with Matthias and his house. He had five sons, John, who was surnamed Gaddis, Simon, who was surnamed Thasi, and Judas, who was called Maccabeus. Judas Maccabeus, he will be the real leader of this revolt. He's the son of Matthias. Does anybody remember what Maccabees means? Yes, very good. The hammer. The hammer. Judas the hammer. Sounds like a pro wrestler or something like that. And it's very fitting, because he was like a hammer against the influence. A physical hammer to fight off what was happening to his people. So Matthias down in verse 15. Yeah, verse 15. They that were sent from King Antiochus came thither to compel them that were fled into the city of Modin to sacrifice and to burn incense and to depart from the law of God. And many of the people of Israel consented and came to them. But Matthias and his sons stood firm. And they that were sent from Antiochus answering said to Matthias, Thou art a ruler and an honorable and great man in this city, and adorned with sons and brethren. That's kind of flattering, isn't it? Therefore, come you first and obey the king's commandment, as all nations have done, and the men of Judah, and that they remain in Jerusalem, and you and your sons shall be in the number of the king's friends, and enriched with gold and silver and many presents. That sounds pretty good. Now that's the easy road right there. Really? I'll be one of the king's buddies? Yeah. You'll be an FOA. So you'll be great. And honorable, great presence and things like this. Matthias answered and said with a loud voice, although all nations obey King Antiochus, so as to depart every man from the service of the law of his fathers and consent to his commandments, I and my sons and my brethren will obey the law of our fathers. And I hope that's what he said. God be merciful unto us. It is not profitable for us to forsake the law and the justices of God. We will not hearken to the words of King Antiochus, neither will we sacrifice and transgress the commandments of our law to go another way. Now as he left off speaking these words, there came a certain Jew in the sight of all to sacrifice to the idols upon the altar in the city of Modin, according to the king's commandment. Matthias saw and was grieved, and his reins trembled, and his wrath was kindled according to the judgment of the law, and running upon him, he slew him upon the altar. Moreover, the man whom King Antiochus had sent, who compelled them to sacrifice, he slew at the same time, and pulled down the altar, and showed zeal for the law. And as Phinehas did by Zimri, the son of Salomon. What story is that? Phinehas, Zimri. Remember that story? It's in the book of Numbers. Yeah, exactly right. Yeah, Zimri was the man who committed fornication with one of the Moabite women. Phinehas was the man who ran them both through. So they're comparing this action of Matthias to the action of Phinehas. Great zeal for the law. How dare you do this? How dare you command us to offer these sacrifices to another God? And Matthias cried out in the city with a loud voice, saying, everyone that has zeal for the law and maintains the testament, let him follow me. So he and his sons fled into the mountains and left all they had in the city. Now other sources say that there were people that followed Matthias into the mountains, and they said that they had a lot of sympathy. They had sympathy from both sides, because even those who were in favor of Hellenization thought that they were going too far. They couldn't stand this, so they had sympathy on both sides. That's bad when the liberals and the conservatives both agree. You know, that it must really be bad. So they do get a following. It's really good that they do this, and they go out and fight. They fight the king's men. They have victories. From this other source I have here, the outrages continued to be heaped upon the Jews. And we just read that in that first chapter of 1 Maccabees. Matthias led this revolt. And soon after the death of Matthias, leadership, Mattathias is a proper pronunciation. I'm sorry, I have been shortening it. His friends call him Matthias. No, Mattathias. Mattathias. Leadership fell after his death to Judas the Maccabee, the hammer. The Maccabees, followers of Judas, made their way to Jerusalem in 165 BC, entered the temple, removed evidence of pagan worship, erected a new altar to God, and ground to dust the statue of Zeus Antiochus. They observed on an eight-day feast of dedication, also called Hanukkah, or the Festival of Lights. The feast began on the 25th day of Kislev, or in December, December 25th, Hanukkah, exactly 3 years after Antiochus had desecrated the temple. So he had desecration of the temple, and within 3 years, by 3 years, it had been taken back, thanks to this Maccabean revolt. This Feast of Lights, or Dedication, or Hanukkah, became an annual feast of the Jews. Jesus was in Jerusalem during this feast at least once, John chapter 10, verse 22. So whenever you come across that, the Feast of Lights or Dedication, just remember this is where it came from in this 400-year period of silence when things were looking bad for God's people. And out of the darkness came this light, and the Maccabean revolt was successful. Judas died on the battlefield in another battle with the Syrians in 161 B.C. The successors to Judas Maccabeus were, first of all, Jonathan. Jonathan held a place of leadership from 161 to 142 B.C. until he was murdered by a Syrian general. Simon succeeded his brother from 142 to 135 B.C., and during his leadership, the Jews were granted immunity from taxes by the Syrians and proclaimed their independence. I think that was about the time the Samaritans, as we read earlier, Samaritans heard about this and said they were Jews, so they got immunity from taxes. Excuse me. Simon is made the high priest. Okay, and John talked about that in his class on Zechariah, the high priest and the king, or the leader. Zerubbabel was the leader, the king, whatever you want to call him. You could technically call him a king, but he was the secular, civil-type leader, and the high priest was Joshua at that time, in when the time Zechariah speaks of. Yeah, that's a good question. I don't think... I'm not sure what tribe they were, Thomas. It's a good question. Which one, Samuel? Yeah, you think so? That's a good question. I don't know. Does anybody know what tribe was Mattathias from? Yeah. No, the one who led the revolt. Yeah. His son or grandson here is claiming to be makes himself the high priest. So we're just wondering if he could be possibly qualified. You know, Rick, have any idea what tribe they were from? Okay. All right. That's a good question, Thomas. It's kind of like they're trying to keep the law, and yet they don't always keep the law.